if you haven't gotten active with any of the social justice work, feel free to talk to people after the service and find out what all that committee works on. There's a lot going on. Next announcement is today during the joint RE class, the youth will be making cards for the organization, Cards for Hospitalized Kids. The supply table will be left up after the service, so stop by during social hour and make a card to bring some joy to a child. No artistic skill necessary, just a caring heart and a few kind words. Note, there was a concert here on Saturday night, and someone took the wrong black leather jacket, so if you've got the wrong jacket, please bring it back and let Brittany know, and it'll get switched back to where it belongs. And last note is there is an orientation for Family Promise coming up. It will be May 7th at 11:30 after the service. For those of you who don't know, if you're late planners, Family Promise does do a screening and other process. So in order to be a volunteer to work for certain parts of it, you have to already have signed up and gone through the orientation. So please keep that in mind if you're interested to plan on doing that. It's not quite just a walk-in. And last thing, today's order of service includes announcements of other upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. To stay current on services, events, and activities, check out our webpage at lcuuc.org and like and follow us on Facebook. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all electronics that you may have here with you today. Thank you.
Sharing the opening words with you this morning, you may notice in your order of service that it says Phil Smith, and I don't look exactly like Phil Smith. I'm Carrie Duma. Phil and I are co-chairs of the Social Justice Committee, and Phil, unfortunately, is sick this morning. So Paul and I will be sharing the parts in the order of service that says Phil Smith. So these are our opening words for this morning. We come together to share community, We come together to be inspired and to inspire. We come together to share our belief in seven principles, to learn, to teach, to work for a better world, to act with courage, to push ourselves to confront injustice, to push each other further down the path to an inclusive and just world. Please take a moment now to say hello or introduce yourself to those around you.
Please join in singing our cellist lighting song. The words are printed in your order of service. Rise in body or spirit and join in singing our opening hymn number 121, We'll Build a Land. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to bring a message of hope and grace to an imperfect world. My name is Paul Fackler, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. And I see in our order of service, we actually have our hymn in the welcome. So this is the welcome part. We just sang the hymn, in case you're confused. No matter who you are or where you have come from, you are welcome here. Whether you have walked with Martin Luther King Jr., organized farm workers with Cesar Chavez, or only wished you had, you are welcome here. Whether you want to focus on improving housing, as Aaron Bartley has done with PUSH, People United for Sustainable Housing, or on food, like Lucas Benitez and the Campaign for Fair Food, or just wages, like Teresa Chang and United Students Against Sweatshops, or are simply trying to stand up for what you believe, you are welcome here. If you have ever wondered, how do I matter and how do I make a difference, you are welcome here. We welcome those who have some of the answers and those who have none of the answers and those who aren't sure they're even asking the right questions at all. As a UUA recognized welcoming congregation, we welcome and affirm all people regardless of who they love and what pronouns they use. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, find out more about our church. We are glad that you have chosen to be here today to celebrate and worship with us. One of the ways we care for our wider community is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items, which we donate each month. If you have food items to share, please bring them forward at this point in the service or ask a child to bring them forward, and I invite the children to come up and enjoy a story.
Come on up, you guys. I have a story for you. Here, I'll come down closer. How you guys doing? This is a story today about a boy and his father who are experiencing homelessness. And we're going to be talking about that in our service today. So it's called Fly Away Home. Here's the boy and his dad. My dad and I live in an airport. That's because we don't have a home, and the airport is better than the streets. We are careful not to get caught. You guys ever been in an airport? No. Mr. Slocum and Mr. Vail were caught last night. 10 green bottles hanging on the wall, they sang. They were as loud as two moose bellowing. Dad says they broke the first rule of living here. Don't get noticed. Dad and I try not to get noticed. We stay among the crowds. We change airlines. Delta, TWA, Northwest, we love them all, Dad says. He and I wear blue jeans, blue t-shirts, and blue jackets. We each have a blue zippered bag with a change of blue clothes. Not to be noticed is to look like nobody at all. They just want to kind of blend in, don't they? Once we saw a woman pushing a metal cart full of stuff. She wore a long, dirty coat, and she lay down across a row of seats in front of the Continental Gate 6. The cart, the dirty coat, the lying down were all noticeable. Security moved her out real fast. So then she couldn't stay in the airport anymore. Dad and I sleep sitting up. We use different airport areas. Where are we tonight, I ask. Dad checks in his notebook. Alaska Air, he says, over in the other terminal. That's okay. We like to walk. We know some of the airport regulars by name and by sight. There's Idaho Joe and Annie Franny and Mars Man, but we don't sit together. Sitting together will get you noticed faster than anything, Dad says. Once, a little brown bird got into the main terminal of the airport and couldn't get out. It fluttered in the high, hollow spaces. It threw itself at the glass, fell panting on the floor, flew to a tall metal girder, and perched there exhausted. Don't stop trying, I told it silently. Don't. You can get out. For days, the bird flew around, dragging one wing, and then it found the instant when a sliding door was open and slipped through. I watched it rise. Its wings seemed okay. "Fly, bird," I whispered. "Fly away home." Though I couldn't hear it, I knew it was singing. Nothing made me as happy as that bird. We buy donuts and milk for breakfast at one of the cafeterias, standing in line with our red trays. Sometimes Dad gets me a carton of juice. On the weekends, Dad takes the bus to work. He's a janitor in an office in the city. The bus fare is $1 each way. This book might be kind of old. On those days, Mrs. Medina looks out for me. The Medinas live in the airport, too. Grandma, Mrs. Medina, and Denny, who's my friend, he and I collect rented luggage carts that people have left outside and return them for 50 cents each. They figured out a way to make some money in the airport. When Dad comes home from work, he buys hamburgers for us and the Medinas. That's to pay them for watching out for me. If Denny and I have had a good day, we treat for pie. But I've stopped doing that. I save my money in my shoe. My shoe. "Will we ever get our own apartment again?" I ask Dad. "I'd like it to be the way it was before Mom died." "Maybe we will," he says. "If I can find more work, if we can save some money." He rubs my head. "It's nice right here, though. Isn't it, Andrew? It's warm, it's safe, and the price sure is right." But I know he's trying all the time to find us a place. He takes newspapers from the trash baskets and makes pencil circles around letters and numbers. Then he goes to the phones. When he comes back, he looks sad, sad and angry. I know he's been calling about an apartment. I know the rents are too high for us. "I'm saving money, too," I tell him, and I lift one foot and point to my shoe. Dad smiles. "Databoy." "If we get a place, you and your dad can come live with us," Denny says. "And if we get a place, you and your mom and your grandma can come live with us," I say. "Yeah, we shake on it. That's going to be so great." After next summer, Dad says, "I have to start school." "How?" I ask. "I don't know, but it's important. We'll work it out." Denny's mom says he can wait for a while, but Dad says, "I can't wait. I need to go to school." Sometimes I watch people meeting people. "We miss you. It's great to be home." Sometimes I get mad, and I want to run at them and push them and shout, "Why do you have a home and we don't? What makes you so special?" But that would get us all noticed. Sometimes I just want to cry. I think Dad and I will be here forever. But then I remember the bird. It took a while, but a door opened, and when the bird left, when it flew free, I know it was singing. And that's the end of our story. So thank you for coming up. Kind of a sad story, but sometimes people work their way out of homelessness, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So thank you for coming up, sharing the story. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. Okay. Please help join in singing the children to their classrooms. The song is called "For You Shall Go Out," and the words are written in your order of service. The offering supports this community. We give not only as an expression of thanks for the blessing of abundance, but because the act of giving is part of our well-being. We join our resources to create collectively something that is larger than any one of us. We seek not only to build this community, but to build a world that reflects our principles and our values. This morning's offering will now be given and received. And as noted, loose change in bills and checks marked as such will go to Family Promise today. Thank you for these gifts given and received for the work of this community.
This is the time in our service where we come together to bear witness to one another's lives. Before the service, you're always welcome to silently light a candle on the candle table. If you would like to share a joy or a concern aloud now, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
This is Chris. Like all families, my family has had lots of ups and downs lately, but right at the moment, this very day, everything's going well, everybody's employed, everybody's happy, and we're just going to really celebrate today until the next time.
This is Lynn, a candle of joy for our members, Mayor and Ken, who provided us a magical evening of learning about the blues, and Ken on guitar and Mayor on guitar and vocals. So they donated their time and talent, and the proceeds went to church. It's great.
Please light a candle of sadness for the Coptic Christians who were killed or injured this Palm Sunday morning in Egypt, for the people of the South Sudan, the people of Syria, all those who seem to be afflicted so terribly this Easter season.
I think we should light a candle for the weather, because it's very beautiful out and I'm very grateful.
Anita Martin, one of our sons is a hyperbaric medicine doctor from Duke, and right now he and some other doctors from London are climbing Mount Everest, and they will go just to the base camp, but every day they're measuring the oxygen uptake of climbers. So naturally, as a mom, I have concern, but when we last heard from him, he was in this little village that, when I went online and read, it's mainly over 300 Buddhist monks and nuns, and their village was pretty much destroyed 2 years ago from the earthquake. And the story that I read was that a climber from Australia who came upon the village later and saw that they were still living in tents went back to Australia and raised money so that the funding came for the people to rebuild. So that's a joy.
And we'll light one last candle for the joys and concerns which we hold deeply but which have not been named here today. And as we hold these joys and concerns in our hearts, please join me in a few moments of silent thought, meditation, or the spirit of prayer.
Our first reading is in the Gray Hymnal. It's number 580. It's called The Task of the Religious Community by Mark Morrison Reed. So feel free to read along if you want. The central task of the religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind each to all. There is a connectedness, a relationship discovered amid the particulars of our own lives and the lives of others. Once felt, it inspires us to act for justice. It is the church that assures us that we are not struggling for justice on our own, but as members of a larger community. The religious community is essential, for alone our vision is too narrow to see all that must be seen, and our strength is too limited to do all that must be done. Together, our vision widens and our strength is renewed. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our centering hymn, number 134, Our World is One World.
Our second reading is the recent Declaration of Conscience put forth by the UUA and the UU Service Committee, which affirms our core UU values and declares our willingness to put them into action. At this extraordinary time in our nation's history, we are called to affirm our profound commitment to the fundamental principles of justice, equity, and compassion. to truth and core values of American society. In the face of looming threats to immigrants, Muslims, people of color, and the LGBTQ community, and the rise of hate speech, harassment, and hate crimes, we affirm our belief in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. In opposition to any steps to undermine the right of every citizen to vote or to turn back advances in access to health care and reproductive rights, we affirm our commitment to justice and compassion in human relations. And against actions to weaken or eliminate initiatives to address the threat of climate change, actions that would threaten not only our country, but the entire planet, we affirm our unyielding commitment to protect the interdependent web of all existence. We will oppose any and all unjust government actions to deport, register, discriminate, or despoil. As people of conscience, we declare our commitment to translate our values into action as we stand on the side of love with the most vulnerable among us. We welcome and invite all to join in this commitment for justice. The time is now. So, why are we here? What calls us to this church, to this community? Many of us walked into these doors looking for something. Community, spirituality, a sense of purpose. We found the Unitarian Universalist principles, respect, dignity, equality, fairness, the democratic process, care for the world. These principles seem right. They resonate with our view of how we should live in the world. Today, we feel so many of these principles and values threatened. And as the Declaration of Conscience that we just read states, we are called to affirm our profound commitment to the fundamental principles of justice, equity, compassion, to truth, and core values of American society. Every day, we are inundated with information about how those values are being cast aside as profit and greed take hold. The world is being threatened by people in power who are ruling only to benefit the rich. The rich are getting richer. The poor are being left behind. So what do? It can all feel so overwhelming. We can, and many of us do, get involved politically, and that is very important. Over time, many of us feel a need to do something, though physically, actively, to get our hands and hearts involved, to work with people who are being victimized and left behind, especially now. As you use, ours is a theology of engagement. We draw inspiration and truth from experiencing each other and the world around us. In doing so, we witness both the beauty and the brokenness of our world. We're here because we want to help heal the brokenness. As theologian Thomas Merton said, quote, "Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. That is not our business, and in fact, it's nobody's business. What we are asked to do is to love. And this love itself will render both ourselves and our neighbors worthy," end quote. So how do we offer love to those who need it? Of course, we all need it. As a congregation, we made a decision to focus our social justice efforts on economic inequality, given the huge and increasing gap between rich and poor in our world. We have learned about the reality of poverty in our country. We have supported the Fight for 15 movement. We have worked to raise awareness of the Black Lives Matter movement. And hopefully many of you were able to attend the Racial Justice Courage to Act workshop last weekend. We will continue to support this work, and we encourage your involvement. We as a church have designated collections to support various organizations that work to alleviate poverty globally with our work with the Heifer Project last fall and the UU Service Committee, as well as locally by contributing to Common Ground, the Waukesha Dental Clinic, and Hebron House, which provides services to homeless people in Waukesha. We also donate to three local organizations that we'd like to specifically highlight today: Family Promise, the Lake Area Free Clinic, and the Hope Center. As most of you know, LCUUC is involved with Family Promise. We are a host congregation. Family Promise is a nonprofit whose mission is to assist homeless families with children in Waukesha County by providing overnight shelter, meals, and support services with the goal of achieving permanent housing and sustainable independence. Family Promise is based on the belief that every family deserves a home. Family Promise has core values very similar to ours: belief in the dignity of all persons and that they should be treated with equality, respect, and compassion, belief in the potential for change and growth, belief in a holistic, creative, and responsible approach to meet the needs of families. That's Family Promise's values, or mission, or values. Family Promise works with families to create individualized plans towards their self-sufficiency and to connect them with existing community services to find trainings, jobs, and affordable housing. The families are provided meals and overnight shelter by church congregations such as ours. The children in the program go to the same school during the time their families are in the program, and the parents are working to create their individualized plans. Families generally work through the program in 45 to 60 days. As a host congregation, we provide overnight housing and meals here at LCUC 4 weeks a year. Many of you know all this stuff. As a volunteer, you can share a meal with the family, spend time with them, help a child with homework, or read them a book, or just be a listening ear. This is a rewarding way to know that you're helping make a difference in someone's life. Today, we are really fortunate because we have a woman who was in the Family Promise program who has agreed to come and speak with us a little bit and share a little bit about her experience in the program. Her name is Rochelle Masteler, and I'm inviting her up right now to share her thoughts with us.
Hello, my name is Rochelle. I'm a part of the Family Promise alumni group. I would like to start off by saying thank you for letting me speak today. This was the first church I stayed at while being with Family Promise. I walked in the doors of Family Promise March 28th of 2015. I had no idea my experience at Family Promise would forever impact my life. I came to them at one of the lowest points in my life. I didn't have a home, I didn't have a job, and I was completely hopeless. I was struggling with many things when I came into Family Promise. I remember I was full of fear of the unknown and the what ifs and the what will happen to us. I was hurt and heartbroken from the situation that led me to be homeless. I was alone, very alone, to where I felt like I had nobody. I had lost all faith and I had become beaten. I dropped out of the class I was taking at a local college because it was too hard to focus on school. I was also struggling with addiction and at the point of just giving up. The terrible events that unfolded were too much to bear. The first week at Family Promise was tough. I wasn't used to asking for help or receiving it. I cannot express the gratitude I have for all of you who volunteer and help host for this organization. I was shown an immense amount of kindness and compassion. It was an experience that has changed my life forever. I went from having days where I could barely lift my head off the couch to smiling and laughing and just feeling safe. I am so appreciative for those of you who could sit with my daughter and play games and entertain her. Having the home-cooked meals every night helped me to feel somewhat in a family and homey setting. I remember looking around at all the people who surrounded me, helping me and helping my daughter. It was in that moment that I knew I had to make a life... It was in that moment that I knew I had to make a change in my life. I was struggling at this point with the disease of addiction. I was in such a dark place because of what I went through, I wanted to give up. Because of the kindness and positivity I was surrounded by, I thought to myself, what am I doing? I either continue down this path and die, or I do something to change it. If all of these people care about me and want to help me, then I need to help myself too. I never once felt judged or belittled because of my situation, and that was very important to me. I started opening up more to some of the volunteers. I needed that at the time, just someone to listen, because I was going through a lot. I was given a lot of great advice. I was becoming motivated again. My faith was ignited, and my light was no longer dim. God started working miracles in my life. You guys helped to encourage me to do things and want to succeed and better myself, not just for me, but for my daughter. I decided to get clean. Someone, as in a volunteer, recommended a 12-step program. They said I should go. So I openly talked about it with the Family Promise director, and they encouraged me to go. They let me come back late to the churches. They even had leftovers saved for me in the fridge from dinner if I missed it. Other advice I was given during my time with Family Promise: make one goal a day, just one important thing, and once you complete it, then you can feel accomplished. My goal suggested to me that day was to go get a job application. So I did. My goal the next day was to drop that application off. So I did. My next goal was to go in for that job interview. So I did that. I was given the job, and I continue to use the one goal a day advice and pass it along to friends as well. Family Promise advocated for me, which also was very supportive because I was too nervous to tell people my situation or make phone calls. That was something that helped ease me into taking care of things to get back on my feet. Because of all the people I encountered and had met, my life started changing for the better. I want you all to know what you are doing does make a difference. It seriously saved my life. I think God put me exactly where I needed to be at that time, and he put all of you where you needed to be as well. If it wasn't for Family Promise, I'm not sure where I would have gone or where I would be today. I asked what I could do to thank everyone for everything they did for me and for my daughter, and the responses I was always given were just make it, just succeed, just take care of yourself and do the right thing. So I did. Today, almost 2 years after leaving Family Promise, I still have that same job that they helped push me to get. I still have the same apartment. And on March 28th of 2017, exactly 2 years from the day I walked into Family Promise, I was getting inducted into the National Honor Society at my college. I have completed 2 years of college, and after this semester, I will be a substance abuse counselor in training. I still attend those 12-step meetings 3 to 4 times a week, and I volunteer for the Waukesha County Health and Human Services AODA department. Without the care and support I was shown by all of you affiliated with Family Promise, I would not be where I am today. And I just want to say thank you and for you to know how much you impacted my life.
Well, that says more than I could ever possibly say about what we can do if we feel hopeless and we want to make a difference. So we do need more people to support Family Promise in this church. We have a really wonderful core group of people who are involved, but we really need a few more people to step up. So we're hoping that what you heard today might inspire you to get more involved or invite others. And there's a table in the foyer after the service, and Gina Magnus is going to be there. She's our coordinator for our church, and she can answer any questions you have. She's done an amazing job coordinating the program for us, so please visit her and share that information with others. So that's Family Promise, something we're intimately involved in. There's another organization that helps people who are struggling financially in our area, and that's the Lake Area Free Clinic. And one of our members, Mike Garrell, volunteers there, and he has agreed to share a little bit about that with us now. So we're inviting Mike up.
Morning. Yes, I'm Mike Garrell. I'm that guy that sits in the back of the church on Sundays, smiling with that slightly addled look on my face. To catch my eye, I will likely say hello. To catch my eye during the week, you may be looking at me through a pair of magnified loops, and you may hear people referring to me as Dr. Garrell. And you would probably be in Dowson, Wisconsin, which is where I've been practicing dentistry since 1990. Since 2005, patients from the Lake Area Free Clinic have been calling me to help with their dental emergency needs. The Lake Area Free Clinic is an important link in our community between those in need without means and quality health care. What they do can best be summed up by their year-end statement, which I will disseminate here. Since 2001, the Lake Area Free Clinic has been serving the residents of Waukesha County who lack health insurance and whose income is at or below 250% of the federal poverty level. Clinic patients receive the medical attention, medication, and practical information they need to maintain their health in a friendly and caring atmosphere. The clinic also serves as a valuable resource in helping to locate follow-up services. The clinic continues to provide services with the dedicated staff and hard-working volunteers who donated more than 12,000 hours of service in 2016. This includes some of our own Janice Tyler volunteers, her pharmacology know-how, and Gina Magnus, who also is involved with Family Promise, is also involved in the Lake Area Free Clinic. She volunteers there and is on the board of directors. Thousands are in our community who would otherwise go without vital health care are afforded the dignity of getting their basic health care needs met. In 2016, the clinic recorded 2,841 patient visits. This was made possible because of the commitment of their staff and volunteers and services provided by ProHealthcare, Aurora Healthcare, and other local providers and donations. As the clinic begins its 17th year of operation, it continues to provide vital support and assistance to those who remain uninsured, an estimated 20,000 persons in Waukesha County alone. Due to the number of access and affordability issues, the clinic also The clinic also offers help in determining eligibility for insurance through the Affordable Care Act, healthcare insurance, marketplace, or Badger Care. The clinic's core purpose is to meet the widest range of healthcare needs of the economically challenged that it is able to support. As such, they are pleased to announce that thanks to a 2-year planning effort and successful capital campaign in 2017, the clinic will open a 6-chair dental clinic for medical eligible and uninsured adults in the county. Patients without private dental insurance and who are at or below 200% of the federal poverty level will qualify to be seen. When at capacity, the clinic projects they will be able to see 6,000 dental patients annually. This doesn't let me out of the loop because there's still that people that are going to fall in the between the below 200% of the poverty level that the dental clinic can see and the 250% of the poverty level that the medical clinic sees. Currently, I might be the only dentist. There may be one other dentist helping with those emergency needs. The marriage of this partnership first came about, I assume, because my reputation as a good dentist and overall good guy preceded me. I had done some work at the Jefferson County Free Clinic where my friend Dr. Jim Milford volunteers. That notion was put to rest recently when my office manager said no. She was approached by one of the clinic's founders, Donna Voigt, who asked if the doctors at Dowson Family Dentistry would be willing to attend emergency dental needs of the clinic's patients. My manager chose to ask me because I'm basically a pushover. That was my reputation. Anyway, it's turned out to be a win-win situation for me and Dowson Family Dentistry. We started with some guidelines. We see patients as soon as we can in our schedule. Patients are told to bring $50 for that first appointment. This makes the patients have some skin in the game, and though the fee hasn't changed, $50 is not a trivial amount. This initial fee will cover whatever is needed to resolve the patient's emergency. Further treatment, we usually negotiate. I enjoy the fact that I'm at a point in my practice where I can use my dental skills to help those in need. I feel confident the free clinic is sending me truly needy people. Usually we can resolve the patient's needs in that first visit. Sometimes we do more extensive work and give the option of payment plans. Occasionally a patient gets back on their feet and continues to see me on a regular basis. Another win for me personally is that in my practice, I enjoy the opportunity to meet and know a cross-section of our community. The free clinic patients expand that cross-section. I've seen everything from a new chemical engineer who's moved here from Washington, D.C., to a free spirit hippie who can't seem to stay on the right side of the law. I meet many characters. The other way that my cross-section gets increased is the influx of patients whose first language may only be Spanish. Most of these people come with an interpreter, usually a relative or a friend. I've picked up a little Spanish, and I can get the gist of what the discussion is between the patient and the translator. Occasionally, I dip my toe in to the language, speaking simple things like, open your mouth, abre su boca, or close your mouth, cierra la boca. At a family gathering, one time I asked my sister, who's fluent in Spanish, how to say bite. She told me I practiced a little bit. The first opportunity that came up, I had the patient sitting there with their mouth open, and I said, muerta. The patient kind of looked at me, and I said, muerta? I later found out I was basically telling the patient to die. So. And of course, that leads me to the quote that I'm about to read from Nelson Mandela, which is, a nation should be judged not on how it treats its highest citizens, but its lowest ones. My free clinic patients are often fun and interesting group, and usually are some of the most appreciative patients I see. I'm happy to support the efforts of the Lake Area Free Clinic, and I'm glad to belong to a church that does too.
Thanks, Mike. So there's also information at the table about the Lake Area Free Clinic and how you can help out there. Finally, LCUUC has a commitment to the Hope Center in Waukesha, a nonprofit organization that's been serving the basic needs of financial assistance, food, and clothing in Waukesha County for more than 20 years. All of their programs focus on the prevention of homelessness. And our beloved member, Diane McBain, volunteers with the Hope Center regularly, and she's going to come up now and share a little bit about that experience with us to inspire us a little bit more. So thank you, Diane.
Medications for essential tremor take away all your balance. So, the Hope Center is a ministry committed to serving people in need in Waukesha County. I have been volunteering at the Hope Center in Waukesha since 2012. I work in the clothing shop. We offer all types of clothing for the entire family, plus bedding, household items, personal hygiene items, backpacks, and sleeping bags for the homeless. Believe it or not, some men sleep in the doorways of grocery stores when it's 20 below zero. And layettes for expectant moms, and we do have many. I have not missed my Friday 4.5 volunteering shifts since 2012, except for a few surgeries, blizzards, 2 trips, and that nasty virus that was going around recently, and you can still hear in my voice. Fridays don't feel complete when I can't see my old and new friends enjoying shopping for gently used clothing, shoes, etc. We also have new underwear and socks for all ages. We used to have the Undies Sundays. Haven't had that for a long time. I'd love to have that back. Sometimes those drawers become empty and the Hope Center has to go shopping big bucks to fill them up. We hope that churches, other organizations, and individuals will help ease that cost by donating. Of course, cash donations are much appreciated when our donors can't keep up with the demand. Each client gets a printout upon arrival. It shows how many items they can choose for the rest of the month. 5,000 clients, including children, visit 20,000 times annually. At the moment, we don't need any more volunteers, but that situation can change at any time. Marie Bram from our church, I thought she was going to be here today. She works with me, and let's see, when she is not traveling the world, I wanted to add that. That's the only reason that keeps her away. We work hard and then go out to eat together. Perfect. There is a day center where men, women, and children of all ages are welcome. Social activities and Wi-Fi are provided to help look for jobs, along with breakfast at 9 a.m. and hot lunch at noon. Evening meals are available on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays at 5:30 p.m. 40,000 meals are served annually. Project Move is a program that supplies major appliances and furniture. Requests are filled as donations are received. Financial assistance is offered for transportation to maintain employment, limited medical copays, and replacement of IDs and birth certificates. Of course, there is paperwork involved to show that you are in financial need. Hope Center provides free books to children in Waukesha County. Phil Smith built this most wonderful long bookcase that holds our books, and we have another 8,000 in the warehouse, so the children are just thrilled with all those books. Hope Center distributes more than $65,000 in financial assistance to pre-screened individuals annually. I just want to do a little visual aid. Friday, we have a rack outside the front door, And on there goes all the things that have been hanging on the racks for many, many months. And either they're going to go to Goodwill to either be sold, or if they're, they get shredded. And that fabric gets used. Nothing goes to waste. I walked by, and I saw this. And even though I'm somewhat giraffe-like, this is a petite, I thought, hey, this fits in with my 30 to 40-year-old clothing. So, visually. Many thanks to all of you who donate gently used clothing, coats, shoes, etc. I hope you are aware that there is a blue bin in the social hall labeled Hope Center. I can point it out for you if you need to know. I check it every Sunday and take the things in on Fridays. Thanks again.
Thanks, Diane. So that's some ideas of ways to make a difference, get involved. I also just briefly want to mention a new program that you can get involved in if you're interested. A few weeks ago, we had a really good training here about generational poverty and the realities of living in that. And we have an opportunity to support a 16-week program that's starting up in Oconomowoc in May called Coming Together to Get Ahead, where they match people experiencing poverty with mentors and provide one night a week food and childcare. So they're looking for people to help with that. There's a schedule. So please talk to me if you have any interest in getting involved in that. In the words of Dorothy Day, the tireless Catholic worker, her words are so relevant now. She said, "People say, what is the sense of our small effort? They cannot see that we must lay one brick at a time, take one step at a time. A pebble cast into a pond causes ripples that spread in all directions. Each one of our thoughts, words, and deeds is like that. No one has a right to sit down and feel hopeless. There's too much work to do." End quote. So if you're feeling down and hopeless, hopefully today's service has helped you understand ways you can actively engage your hearts and hands. This is all spiritual work. It feeds our soul. So when you're feeling like things are overwhelming, get involved, get busy, dig in. It'll do your heart good. Thank you.
We extinguish our chalice flame, but not the flame that glows within us, inspiring us to work for justice in our world. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn, number 1018, in the teal hymnal, Come and Go With Me.
words from back here. These words are from Laura Horton Ludwig. Spirit of life and love, we are here because we believe what we do matters. We are here because we believe how we live our life matters. That with every act of kindness or meanness, courage or fear, love or hate, we are weaving the fabric of the universe that holds us all. We are here because we need encouragement, because we need strength, because so often we get distracted, we get in a rush, we don't think, we choose the easy way, when the harder path is what our spirits truly long for. We are here because none of us is perfect, but together we inspire one another to try again, to take another step. We are here because we have felt the stirrings of love and grace in our hearts and hands, and we crave more of that for ourselves, and not only for ourselves, for everyone. We are here because how we live matters. Thank you.